The world was so huge. The noise was unbearable. There was a giant machine barreling down on him. It looked as if this was Lucky's last day on the earth. But God had other plans for him. Catching Lucky out of the corner of his eye, the man on the machine paused, contemplating whether to just run over the little bird and get his poor puny life over with. God whispered a scripture into his heart. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Making a snap decision, he shut the mower down and scooped up the baby robin. The man decided to do whatever he could to give this defenseless bird another chance at life. And no, I'm not talking about Brother Jason Murner today. Our message today is entitled, Lessons from Lucky. Lessons from Lucky. And our guiding text is the book of Matthew, chapter 6, and verse 26. Matthew, chapter 6, and verse 26, if you'd like to turn there. We skimmed over the Beatitudes as we, and the Sermon on the Mount as a whole, as we've been preaching through the book of Matthew, but when I'm filling in the blank sermons, I keep finding myself going back to the Sermon on the Mount and catching all those things that we missed. Matthew 6:26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? I don't know about you today, but I'm glad that when I was vulnerable, crippled, and lost, God picked me up in His arms and saved me. He saved me from a wretched life and unending torment. He washed away my sins and filled me with His love. I'm glad to serve a God and to know a God today that would rather gather us all under His protective wings than just run over us. In Matthew 23:37, in the New Living Translation, the second half of that verse, Jesus said to the people of Jerusalem, "How often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you would not let me." I'm glad that I let Jesus save me. I'm glad that I let Him scoop me up and save me. You might be thinking, "God, dude took one look at me and ran over me with that mower several times." Don't let the devil's lies steal your moment. Jesus wants you just the same. Specializing in mangled lives, Jesus will take all your pieces and put you back together. It's happening in our church right now. It's happening among our people, and they're wrestling with it. They're struggling with it. This message is for them today, and it's for all of us. Lucky was going to need more than good intentions. The man gathered up everything he would need to help Lucky, borrowing a cage and locating a heart-shaped nest. Perches, water, and some tasty mealworms were all collected for little Lucky. Keeping a close eye on Lucky required the man to carry him back and forth to work. All the workers fell in love with the poor little fella, and he was the talk of the place, chirping when he was thirsty. And chirping when he was hungry. His mouth opened. The man fed him every day until he was full. At night, the man would put Lucky on his chest and rub his head and neck, and his little heart purred as his eyes grew heavy with sleep. Amazed by Lucky, the man was learning more and more about birds. God was giving him insight into creation, into scriptures, and even into his own heart. Do you remember God's conversation with Job? In Job 38:41, in the New Living Translation, God asked Job, "Who provides food for the ravens when their young cry out to God and wander about in hunger?" Yes, God takes care of these little creatures, and God takes care of us in the same way. David said this in Psalm 37:25, "I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread." In Philippians 4:19, in the New Living Translation, "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Jesus Christ." I want to remind you today that depending on Jesus is the only way to go. It sounds trite, but despite how it sounds, it is true. Everything we will ever need, God already has it covered.
That's right.
Worrying about our needs instead of trusting God's provision gets us into all kinds of trouble. It's what we call the cart before the horse syndrome. When we should be pursuing a relationship with Christ, and when we should be nestling into His protective love, we are too often chasing things, careers, love, experiences, possessions, knowledge, etc., etc. All these things are a part of life, but when we prioritize them over God's kingdom, we always lose our way. Lucky was totally dependent on the man. Enjoying Lucky's company made the man feel good. But he knew that Lucky needed to learn how to fly and forage to survive. Learning how to grab a worm off the table came quick, but flying did not. The man spent a lot of time throwing Lucky into the air, hoping to teach him how to fly. He was stronger every day. And at first, Lucky couldn't even stand up on his own, but soon he could sit on the perch or on the man's finger. Unfortunately, flying was not coming to him. He could stay up for a bit, but he quickly spied a spot to land. The man had two little dogs who were not sure what to think about all this. And once when Lucky landed on the floor, one of the dogs grabbed him and roughed up one of his wings. If Lucky did not learn how to fly soon, he might wind up in a bad way. Living as babies in Christ is not an option for believers. God saves us, He loves us, and He provides for us, but it is up to us to grow strong. It is up to us to learn skills, to work industriously, and to watch out for danger. Expressing our new nature and performing spiritual tasks is a sign of maturity. God created birds to fly, fish to swim, and animals to run. We are new creatures in Christ. We were created to commune with God through prayer and worship. We were created to be lights in a dark world. We were created to continue the ministry of Jesus, bringing people back to God. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 14 says this, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." Friend, you'll never live very long in this life unless you learn how to distinguish good from evil. Tell the difference between the voice of God and the voice of demons. But tell the difference between your voice and the voice of the world and the voice of God. Lucky's natural instincts amazed the man. Wiggling mealworms could not escape his sharp eyes. It was kind of fun to watch it, really. You put that worm down there and it started going and looking with it. And then that worm tried to get away and looking, go after it. And every sound caught his attention, but something was off in Lucky's perception of good and evil. He was too comfortable in the man's care. He was too trusting of everything around him. And then it happened. Attempting to fly in the man's house, Lucky made a very unlucky landing. Startling one of the little dogs, before the man could react, the dog reacted. And one shake of the dog's head, Lucky was gone. The man was sad. He had done his best, hoping his efforts would give Lucky another chance at life, and longing to see the little robin fly away. But alas, his efforts were in vain. Burying Lucky and moving on will never erase the things the man learned from the little bird. Church, where are we in our growth as believers? Brother Gilbert preached a very good message at the soup kitchen earlier this year. And he asked the question when he preached, are you where you want to be? Remember that sermon? Are you where you want to be? Are we stuck at some intermediate stage? Is it time for us to tackle new challenges? Is it time to give more of ourselves to God? Is it time to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Are you ready to take off the training wheels? Ready to climb the mountain? Are you ready to jump out of the plane and trust your parachute? I want to read a portion of Scripture to you in the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 1. Beginning at verse number 3. 2 Peter, chapter 1, beginning at verse number 3. You don't want to end up like Lucky. But there's a lot of believers who have. I don't want to end up like Lucky. But there's a lot of believers that are just like Lucky today. God scooped them up, saved them from destruction, coddled them, fed them, cared for them, loved them, helped them to grow strong, but they never spread their wings and fly. They never learn how to live and become what God created them to live and become, to be in His image, to rule, to reign over the things of life, to learn to tell the difference between good and evil, to start a family of their own, and come back with appreciation. It's told of stories that were more successful than Lucky's was, of birds who were saved and let loose into the wild, and that years later that bird would continue to return to that same house, to that same yard where seeds were spread out for it. Later would bring a mate. Later would bring new birds that were born to them. And always coming back and flying overhead of those and thanking them that saved them from destruction. I don't want to end up like Lucky today. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. You know what? The truth is, God's got you right where He wants you. Hallelujah. The truth is, God has us right where He wants us. And He makes sure that we have everything we need to succeed. But it's up to us to do something with it.
Amen.
We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace. We're helpless hopeless. But Jesus saves us in that state. While we're sinners, God loves us. And sent Jesus to intercede and intervene for us. But after we are saved, the apostle says, we are saved for good works. And God doesn't just save you to pat you on the head and put you in a cage. He saves you so that you can go out and carry His plan into the world. Carry His gospel message into the world. Be a light in the world. He saves us so that we can become an active participant in His kingdom. He saves us so that we can be workers and laborers in the field of the harvest of souls. And so we are given everything that we need, and it's up to us to do something with it. And if you don't know what it is, that's a challenge on you to go back to God and get the knowledge that you need until God shows you and teaches you what it is that you need to learn. And a lot of times, it's like Lucky. God keeps throwing you up, and you keep flying back to the ground. God grabs you, and He feeds you, and then He takes you outside, and the wind blows, and He throws you up and says, "Fly, Lucky!" And you find the first branch you can. If you can't find a branch, you go right back to the grass where He found you. It's not going to end well if you keep doing that. God's trying to get you to do what He wants you to do. It's not that complicated. It's not some pie in the sky secret that you got to have all kinds of seances and climb a big mountain and talk to a guru to find out what it is. It's right in front of you. But it's up to us to do something with it. If we don't, we'll end up like Lucky did. And so it says in verse 5 of 2 Peter 1, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love." We've got to add to our faith. It's not good enough for Jesus to come back and He gave you a talent, and He comes back later and you still got the same talent and you haven't done anything with it. When He returns, He wants to see that you added to what He gave you. He's given you the basics. He's given you the initial things that you need to get started. But as you work with what He gives you, then He gives you more. And as you work with that, add that into the mix, then He gives you more. It's kind of like the job we gave Jenny Pappas years ago. She was our secretary and treasurer of our church. And initially, all she had to do was write a couple of checks. But then about 6 months later, we added a little something to it. 3 months later, we added a little something else to it. A year later, we added a little something else to it. 2 years later, we added a little something else to that. 10 years later, and who knows how long it was, we had to add so many things to her. She had a whole entire machine going on in the church office over there that nobody even realized was going on. I didn't even realize how much she was doing. I just knew she was doing it. And then when she retired, it took 5 people to replace her because she was doing so many things. God wants to add things to us, but you don't add it all at once. It's a little bit at a time. And we grow and increase in knowledge and grace of Jesus. And it says in verse 8, "For if these qualities are yours that are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." There's so many people that have been in the church for so many years. They've been to so many church services, so many conferences, and they don't know any more about Jesus today than they did 20 years ago. They don't know any more about Jesus today than they did 10 years ago. I want to know more about Jesus every day. Verse 9, "For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." I'm going to rescue Lucky one more time. Hey, he landed on the altar. I think I'll just leave it there. You know what? If you're going to land anywhere in the struggles of life, let it be the altar.
Amen,
amen. Amen, amen. Yes. Praise God. Why don't we stand together today and go before the Lord in prayer? And I want to invite you to think about this message that we have preached today, Lessons from Lucky. And yes, this story is a true story. Raise your hand if you know that the story about Lucky was a true story. And this story happened during our quarantine and with our brother Philip. He was out mowing and he found this bird, picked it up, and decided to rescue it. And it was down at the soup kitchen for, I don't know, 3 weeks or 4 weeks or something like that. And he even got his picture taken and put on Facebook. I actually have the picture in my thing, but I didn't post it. And forgot to put it on the computer there. But I'll post it on the internet. And so if you enjoy this message today, invite somebody else to watch it. Share it. When we share it on Facebook or put it on YouTube, share it on your Facebook page. And let other people know what's going on at the Jesus Name Pentecostal Church. And that people need to hear this message. Lessons from Lucky was a true story. And it's really all of our stories. And I want us to pray, if the Lord has spoken to you in this message, God, we ask you today.